The goal of this adult Bible study is that we might grow in the Lord. That we might grow in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The goal is to grow. My personal goal in my life is that next year I be farther than I was this year. We'll be closer to the Lord, whether in scripture reading, in prayer, in maturity as a Christian, maturity as a believer. To grow, that's the goal. Not everybody's at the same spot. Different people are at different places in their Christian life. And that's all fine. We don't look at one person in the thing and he's not the target. The Lord Jesus Christ is a goal, and we want to grow. We want to be closer to the Lord this week than we were last week. We want to understand his word more. We want to walk more in the light. Psalm 31, we're on lesson 7, the life we have left. The life we have left. As we consider our lesson today, the aims of our lesson today, to be reminded that we will all stand before God someday. Then to consider the opportunity we have to use the life that we have left for God. Then to learn to live with our trust in the Lord. Then to see what a troubled life we will have if we do not live for Christ. Then finally, to place the life we have left in God's hand and seek his favor and blessing above all else. If I were to, here at the end of my finger, draw a line right here, and at the left end of the line be the beginning of mine and your life, and at the right end of the line be the end of our life, and you were to put an X somewhere in that line as to where we are today, where would that X be? I'm way on that way to the right. Mine would be just possibly right of center, although I could die tomorrow and then it would have been all the way to the right, but we don't know. But I'm 55, so I'm probably just right of center, assuming I'm going to live to be as old as Brother Moore. So just a little bit right of center. Yep. And so I don't know where your ex would be. Some of you are younger. Your ex is very early on in your life. Some are older. And the X is way to the right. Our lesson today is how much time is left. How much time from that X to the end of the life is left. When we think about our life, it's not a whole life that we can now offer to the Lord. It's not all of it anymore. It's only what we have left. It's just a little bit. And we know that our life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanishes away as it is, and yet so much of it is already gone and so little left. What do we want to do with the life that we have left? Do we want to use it for ourselves, for our personal glory, for our personal gain, or do we want the Lord to be glorified in our lives? And I would say everybody here wants the Lord to be glorified in their life because you got up and you came here. Early today, earlier than many other people will. So I would say that you want the Lord to be glorified in your life. Following along in your lesson, the real issue is not what we would do with our life, because we do not have all of our life left. For many people, much of our life has already been lived. The question is, what will you do with the life you have left? As we come to the study in Psalm 31, we consider the expression given in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. This causes us to think about the life we have left. When we consider the times the times that we believe clearly as Christians that God has for us. We don't believe that we are waifs floating along on the sea of life, just at happenstance to go wherever the winds or waves may drive us. We believe that a sovereign, omnipotent God has a plan and is working in our lives to achieve His glory. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in old lady luck. We believe that God works in the affairs of men. That God truly works in the affairs of men. And we have those trophies that we've stacked up over the years where we've prayed and asked God to work in the affairs of men, in our affairs specifically. And we have those times that we remember where we prayed and God worked in the affairs of men. And many times it may have even been, we may have prayed and thought, Lord, I don't know, maybe you can't even do this. And we don't say that, but we just don't quite believe sometimes when we ask for the big things. When we ask for those things, probably our children are one thing that as parents weigh heaviest on us. What path they're going to go down, what path they are heading down, what they're doing with their lives. We need to take that to the Lord. Following along in your lesson, Solomon nears the end of his sermon here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. If I'm going along and you don't understand something I say, raise your hand if you feel you need to, or else wait till afterwards. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. The dust, our lives would end. Hear the preacher going through and saying, what is it all? What is it all? Outside of God, it's just dust. Outside of God, it's just dust. It is truly vanity, as the preacher says here. It is truly vanity outside of God. But in the will of God, it is something that will last for eternity as we live for Him. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. My friend, we are going to meet God. The life you live between the moment we read this and the moment we meet God is the life that we have left. What will you do with the life you have left? We might not have a lot of time. And as we look back across our lives, it seems like time slips by. We've been married over 33 years, and it just seems like those times have just slipped and just gone so fast. And that time will slip by. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. Brother Terry, how's it going back there, brother? You doing all right? 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. That wasn't mean, was it? He's smiling. 2 Timothy 4. Brother, if I could join you, it wouldn't be quite so bad, but 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul writing here to Timothy, Paul's realizing that he's coming to the end of it. So life is almost over. And Paul is realizing that. And he says to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm very close to the end of my life. We're not going to stay here on this earth forever. We're going to turn around a couple of times, and time is going to be no more. It's going to be no more. Ephesians 5, 15, 16. We need to redeem the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to live with a proper emphasis on life, and that emphasis needs to be the Lord. It needs to be the Lord. Divide this chapter up into three categories. We'll start out with verses 1 through 6. It's my trust. In Psalm 31, my trust, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 31, verses 1 through 6. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. For an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regarded lying vanities. But I trust in the Lord. As we read this, we notice in verse 1 and then again in verse 6, his trust is in the Lord. David's trust here is in the Lord. David, of course, the man after God's own heart, having sin in his life, many great sins, looking here and realizing that his trust has to be in the Lord. And that's where our trust has to be. We've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in his word. And if we read something in his word that it says we need to be doing, then we need to trust him for it. And he will give us the strength and the power, and we need to trust him for it, and we need to do it. This psalm was likely written by David during the great crisis that he went through with his son Absalom. David's son was living in utter rebellion against God and against his father, so much so that he sought to overthrow his own father's throne. In the end, Absalom was slain, and David's heart was broken. David had told all his mighty men, "Don't slay my son. Don't slay my son. Don't you kill my son." Because he was a father that loved his son. Absalom was of great grief to his father. Was of great grief. Turn to 2 Samuel 18 in verse 33. 18:33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son, my son." His son's life had been taken. His son's life had been taken. He was dead. He was gone. And a father's heart was heavy. Fathers with heavy hearts, mothers with heavy hearts. Where do we take our heavy hearts? We take them right to the Word of God. We take them right to the Lord. We take our heavy hearts right to the Lord. And the Lord hears, doesn't he? He hears. Not only does he hear, he also answers our request. David says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." In Psalm 31:1, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The great breaking point can be when God brings us to the end of ourselves and we finally trust him. That's where it's at. When I've done everything I could, when I put these hands to work and they've done everything they could, and I've still come up short, wasn't able to accomplish it. That's when God is really able to work, because that's when I say, okay, I'm done. I've done all I can do. And that's when man can see God at work. Before that time, God's work tends to get clouded up with our work, and you can't really see God's hand quite clearly sometimes. But then when we're all done, when we've tried it all, we say, God, I can't do anymore. And here David, his son, dead, gone, David's heartbroken. When we come to the end of ourselves, God. When we come to the end of ourselves, God. God is there. He was there. He'll always be there. Joshua 24:15. Joshua had made a determination. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Make that determination for the rest of your life, however much time you have, that you're going to serve God. And as Pastor said, you might have to serve him alone. There might be times where you're saying, the Lord's telling me to do this, and other people are going to say, no, 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 no. You're going to say, listen, the Lord's telling me to do it, and I'm going to do it. And when you walk the faith life, you can do that. Because we have the faith in an omnipotent God that he will reveal his will to us and that we can indeed do it. We have the faith. Sarah had the faith in Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful. Her God was big enough. Her God was big enough that even though she obviously was going to have no children, her God was big enough. And he had promised, and her God was big enough. How big is our God? Sometimes he doesn't seem very big at all because we're just not willing to trust him. Other times it seems like the Lord blesses us and we put our faith and trust in him and we can trust him to do great things. Because David here, my trust. Then secondly, my trouble. Verses 7 through 14. David continues in these verses, thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Who knows our soul when we're in adversities? Not many people. Our wives, our husbands, our mates may see our when we're in adversities. But a lot of people don't. But the Lord does. The Lord does. Verses 7 through 14. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Here David, certainly we know many portions of David's life, and we know because of sin, many iniquity was brought into David's life. Verse 11, I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine an acquaintance, that they that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Sin had ravaged David's life and made him a weak man. Imagine having a life filled with adversity and filled with grief. Imagine being a forgotten person and a broken vessel. Imagine others devising to take away your life. This was life without God's blessing. The life that sets itself on its own path. This is the diminished life without walking in the Lord. Without walking in the Lord. Because of David's sin, much harm had come. Because of David's sin, much difficulty was in his life. Was in his life. As you and I consider our life, we may look at the things here at the left, here at the beginning. Maybe some victories we had along the way. But then there's those sins, aren't there? They're there. We remember them. Maybe a lot of people don't. We remember them. Someday those will go away, praise the Lord. But they're there. But do you know what they have to do with the rest of our life? Lord willing, they have absolutely nothing to do with the rest of our life. Our failures in the past don't mean necessarily that we're going to be failures in the future. Nor do our successes mean that the life that we have left is going to be a success. The successes of yesterday aren't any good for tomorrow. They're not any good for tomorrow. Each day, each morning, brand new, this is what it has to be. We can't live off yesterday's successes. We've got to have God's Word. We've got to read it. Memorize it, put it on plaques on the walls. Thank you, Brother Andy. How many of you, Brother Andy, close your eyes. How many of you gotten a plaque from Brother Andy with a Bible verse? Isn't that a blessing? Okay, thank you. Brother Andy, you can open your eyes now. That's a blessing. That verse is there in front of us and helps us to remember. Help us to remember the goodness of the Lord. Our lives, the lives that we have left, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to use them for ourselves or are we going to give them to the Lord? We have to give them each day. We don't just give it one time and it stays there. For some reason, it seems like we give something to the Lord and a couple days later, somehow it's come back into our hands again. And then we give it to Him again. We serve a wonderful God. Then my times, verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. My times are in thy hand. God is directing in the affairs of men. God is directing in each of our lives. God has a divine purpose for each one of us in this room today. And that is ultimately to glorify Himself. How will we live the life that we have left? We need to seek God's favor. Verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. For thy mercy's sake. We need to seek God's favor. Verse 17, we need to be unashamed. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. And verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Then we need to fear God. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. He's laid it up for who? Them that fear him. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And then verse 19. John Wesley said, the man that fears God fears, can anybody finish it? Fears no man. The man that fears God fears no man. When you and I have the proper relationship with the Lord, when we fear the Lord, we fear no man. Nothing else makes us afraid. Nothing else that comes along makes us afraid. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a, anybody know it's snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. We need to be hidden with God. And what a place to be hidden with God. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Then verse 21, we need to know God's kindness. Verse 21, we need to know God's kindness. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. We need to know the kindness of the Lord in our lives. How do we know that? We know that by spending time with him, by spending time in his word, by walking in the Spirit. That's how we know the kindness of the Lord. Verse 23, we need to love the Lord. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Did I read that wrong? And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Then finally, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. The Lord is on the throne. He hasn't given it up. No one has taken it from him. God still reigns supreme in the affairs of men. He still reigns supreme in the affairs of men. Down at the bottom of your page, you do not have to waste the rest of your life because of what has happened in the past. We must walk consciously in his presence each day. We must walk consciously in his presence each day. And as we do, we will live abundantly the life that we have left. The life that we have left. All right, let's look at our questions now. Question number one, Psalm 31:15. What does the psalmist declare to be in the hands of God? My times. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:6-7, which indicates he has which he was about to leave the world. Two phrases. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Amen. 2 Samuel 18:33. Why was David's heart so broken? The death of Absalom, the death of his son. Psalm 31:1 and 31:6. What does David repeat in these verses? That we need to trust the Lord. Then Psalm 31:9-13, and list several expressions used by David to describe his situation. Let's have some hands here for one or two of them. Tracy, give us a couple. Okay. Someone else give me a couple and give them big and loud. Okay. Somebody give me two more. Broken vessel, I'm in trouble. Kelly?
My eyes consumed with grief and my life is spent with grief.
Okay. My strength faileth. Then Saturday, what request is made? Psalm 31:16, which reveals David's desire to have the favor and blessing of God. What does he say there? Make thy face to shine upon me, upon thy servant. Okay, thank you very much for coming. Anybody have a question? Any questions? Brother Don?